morning.
Good morning
again.
Good morning.
This is the first time I've been at Wheelis, and we've had two call to worships. But I enjoy that we have become so accustomed to that song and so accustomed to Brother Paul leading that song that when he starts it, we just echo. I did have a fear, and I was okay with it, but I was looking forward to him finishing out the rest of the song. I thought that he was just going to take it on to verse 8. I was just waiting for the rest of it. Although we put verses 1 and 2, it's his song. And I don't mess with a psalmist. If he want to sing the rest of his verses, sing the rest of your verses. But we are so thankful to God that he has blessed us to come together. He has given us another time, more time, another to see another week begin. A lot of times we call Saturday and Sunday the weekend. But Saturday is the only end of the week. Sunday is the beginning. So we are blessed to have seen the start of another week. So tell your boss, Monday is the second day of the week. We go to work on the second day of the week. We worship all week, but then we come together as a congregation, as a people that believe in God on the first day of the week. Thank you again to the brethren for allowing me this opportunity to share God's word. Let's go to Psalms 121, verses 1 and 2. And the Bible reads, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. We'd like to lift for a subject this morning for your consideration, the help. Just the help. Now, what we'd like to do with this message on this morning is we want to teach us the way to accomplish our goals. I want to teach you the way to accomplish your goals. Now, how am I going to do this? First, I'm going to explain to you or talk to you about why Israel needed help. And then we're going to look at how to accomplish your goals or how to accomplish our goals. Now, why did Israel need help? First, let's look at a little bit of background information or context around this psalm, because all psalms are inspired by an experience with God. No psalmist wrote one of the psalms that they wrote unless they had an experience or spent time with God. And when you look at the people of Israel, they had three festivals that they were commanded to go up to Jerusalem to engage and be a part of throughout the year. Now, I want you to know that the book of Psalm 121 is in a collection of psalms, which they call the Songs of Degrees. The Songs of Degrees. So when you look at the text, it starts off saying a song of degrees. Now, the word degrees means a journey to a higher place. A journey to a higher place. Now, I need you to understand that these songs were sung by Israelites as they journeyed up the mountain, up to Jerusalem for the festivals. Now, Jerusalem sits about 2,500 feet above sea level. So they went up a steep incline, and they took the roads that went through the mountains, but they had to go up to Jerusalem. And they needed help because there were concerns or dangers out there on the road. We all know when we travel, we ask for traveling grace or prayers for safe travel, because there are dangers when you travel on the road. We know that there's sometimes that on the roads back in the first century, there were robbers on the road. Up in the mountains, when you go in the mountains, if you drive through a mountain, sometimes you got to look out for animals jumping out. There's wild animals. The luxury we have is we have a car. And so if a lion or something jumps out of the mountain, we just speed up. But what do you do when you're on foot? You can only run so fast. And so there was danger. There was injuries that could happen as you walk up the mountain. Did you have enough supplies to keep your family nourished and healthy as you went up the mountain? So Israel knew that they needed help. And this psalmist in verses 1 and 2 looks and understands that I've been up this mountain before going up to Jerusalem. And when I look at the hills, or as the word says, mountains or mountain range, I look up the hills and I see that I need help. I'm not able to go up the path to Jerusalem without a little help. And what does he say? He asked the question in verse 1 when he says, from whence cometh my help? He's asking, where is my help going to come from? Where will I receive help as I go up this mountain? And the psalmist answers his own question because he's been up the mountain before and he knows how he got up the mountain. He said, the Lord is my help. And he qualifies so you know which Lord he's talking about. He's not talking about Baal. He's not talking about the Asherah. He's talking about the Lord which made heaven and earth. And the heaven and earth that this psalmist is talking about is the same heaven and earth that God created in Genesis 1 and 1. So he says, I need help. And then in verses 3 through 8, he describes how God helps. The key word in verses 3 through 8 is keep. When you read through this psalm, you'll see that the word keep appears in every verse but about one of them. And that word keep means to protect or save life. The Lord helps because he protects us. The Lord helps because he keeps us. The Lord helps because he saves your life. The Lord is our help. When you look at verses 3 and 4, God won't allow you to fall as you go up the mountain. He won't allow us to fall because God is our keeper. And I like God as a help because God doesn't get sleepy. The word slumber says means get drowsy. God doesn't get sleepy. Then it says in the next verse that he doesn't go to sleep. Oh, all of us like to sleep. We like to go to sleep. We get drowsy. We get tired. But God doesn't go to sleep. And he doesn't get tired. He doesn't need coffee. He doesn't need Starbucks. Y'all understand Starbucks and coffee are not the same thing. Coffee costs a dollar. Starbucks, that's a whole different world they got going on over there. Nobody's ever got me a gift card to get coffee. I got a gift card to Starbucks. Verses 5 and 6, it says that God will protect us. When he says he's a shade, shade protects you. It protects you from the heat. What happens in the summer? What do we like to do? Well, if we go outside, if, strong if, we want some shade. My young people in school even know about shade. They bring umbrellas to P.E. Because after P.E., some of them are going to recess and they want shade. They're running up and down a slide and climbing on monkey bars with an umbrella because they want shade. They want protection from the sun. And he says that our protection is day and night. God doesn't get sleepy. God doesn't get tired. And God is on the job 24 hours. Wouldn't our employers be very happy if we could work 24 hours and never got sleepy? If you never came to their office and put in for a day off, I've already submitted 2 or 3 days already for the school year. I know my principal would be a lot happier if I never sent those in. But when we come together for in-service, the first thing she talks about, when she starts talking about time off, I'm already putting in requests. I don't believe in having time off to roll over. You give me vacation time, I'm going on vacation. But God never takes a day off. Then he says, God will protect you from the bad things. Remember, these Israelites are going up this mountain. And there's things in the mountain. There's robbers in the mountain. There's wild animals in the mountain. There's injury that can happen in the mountain. But God will protect you from those bad things. He will protect your life. You're going to make it up the mountain because you're going to serve God. You're going to be a part of these festivals. And not only God will he protect you as you go up the mountain, but God will protect you for life. When he says you're going out and you're coming in, he's meaning, well, at one level when you come into the world and when you go out, meaning when you were born and when you die, when you go away from your home to work or to school or to various events that you're involved in and you come back, God is always on protection duty because God is a keeper. Because God is helping us. What are you helping us do? I'm providing the things you need to help you accomplish your goal. I'm providing what you need to help you accomplish or assist you in accomplishing your goal. So we're trying to go up this mountain. So Israel needed help because there was danger out there. The psalmist may have encountered some of those dangers, and he realized and understood that the only reason he was successful in going up into the hills, going to Jerusalem, was because of the Lord. Now, how do we accomplish our goals? First, let's relate this story, this psalm, to us. First of all, your goals, the things you want to do with your life, that's your Jerusalem. Those are your mountains. Those are your goals. That's what you see when you look into the hills. When he says, I will look, lift my eyes into the hills, he's saying, I'm looking at my goal. What I want to accomplish is up there. And I got to go up the path to get there. The hills are the obstacles or the dangers that get in the way of you accomplishing your goal. But just like the psalmist when he goes up the mountain to Jerusalem, just like the Israelites when they go up the mountain to Jerusalem, the Lord God is our help. God is still helping. God is still helping today. He didn't stop when they stopped going up to Jerusalem for the festivals. God is still helping. So how do I accomplish my goals? First, I need to set some goals. If you don't have a mountain to climb, you ain't going up no mountain. You won't seek help if you're not going nowhere. If I'm laying in my bed, no one ever has to help me do anything. I'm laying there. I know what I'm doing. Help me get the remote is about all I need help with. But you have to set a goal. Then you have to do like the psalmist, and you have to claim God as your help. The God that made heaven and earth, he said, the Lord is my helper, which made heaven and earth. He said, God, you are going to help me. And then we must take the journey on the path that God has given. How do I find my path? It's in Scripture. If I'm not reading my word, I don't know where to go. I can't be on the path if I don't know what the path is. God's word is my path. I need to get on the path. And then the last thing I need to do to accomplish my goals, I need to stay on the path. I need to stay on that path that God laid for. There were roads that were laid out over the years going up to Jerusalem. Even the Romans laid roads to go up through the mountains into Jerusalem. The dangers were off the road. When we go off the path, we are more susceptible to the dangers. You walking around in sandals out here in the hot sun in Jerusalem, and you go off into the wilderness of those mountains, you get a branch through your foot. Stay on the path. That's why they laid the bricks there, so you don't get a branch through your foot. I'm hurt, help me. Well, first part of me should have stayed over here with us. We were walking up the path. It is so crucial that we stay on the path. Because God's protection is on the path. If you do your own thing, God ain't protecting that. God is not protecting you while you do your own thing. You stay on the path, you get all the protections of verses 3 through 8. He won't let you fall. He'll be there all day, all night. He'll protect you from the harm and the dangers if you stay on the path. Let's look at a few things. When I think about marriage, my goal for marriage is to be together forever. Forever. That's my goal. That's my mountain. And there's a path to get there. God has given a path to get there. Love your wife. Respect your husband. He's laid a path for me to get there. And there are obstacles, or there are wild animals out there. There are temptations out there. Sometimes the temptation can be, an obstacle can be you wanting to make more money and spending less time with your spouse. So you get to spend all your time at the job. Your spouse feels she loves the job more than you. Or your spouse feels there's somebody at the job keeping you there. That obstacle is there. Outside people telling you what you need to do in your marriage and you're not going to God's word. If she make you mad, leave her. If he make you mad, leave her. You deserve better. Maybe you are not the better. Sometimes we need to both introduce our spouses as our better half. Now Ryan is better. Ryan is better. She's not mad back there, is she? I'm turning this way. Okay. But you have to spend time. Staying on the path means I'm spending time with my spouse. I pray with my spouse. I pray for my spouse. I worship with my spouse. We talk about godly things together. I go out with my spouse. I make time for my spouse. Why? Because that's going to keep us on the path. Because we're trying to climb this mountain to forever. And if we stray off the path, danger is out there. Bad advice is out there. Optional spouses are out there. But what if I want to further my education, or I want to finish school? That's a nice goal. That's up a mountain. I'm looking at the hills and I'm saying, I want to finish school. Whether it be high school, whether it be elementary school, whether it be college or further your college education, whatever that training is, you want to finish it. There's obstacles out there. Bad teachers. Bad classmates. You may be an obstacle. Classes you don't want to take. Times you don't want to go. Projects you don't want to do. Those are all obstacles. But the path says, I'm going to go to class. The path says, I'm going to do the work. The path says, I'm going to pray for the teacher, for me, for the test. I'm praying for all of it so I can get to my goal. And you understand that there's going to be some things that you will not like as you go up the mountain. I'm sure those Israelites ladies got tired. I'm sure they didn't like going up there three times a year, but this is what they were commanded to do. If you want that education, if you want that specific training, you have to go up the path. You won't like everything on the path. But if you get off the path, you won't accomplish your goal. You will not accomplish your goal. What if you want to set your family up? You want to be able to leave your family when that time comes. You want to be able to leave your family in a stable condition. You want to know that your family is serving God. You want to know that your family is financially stable and that they are working hard to bring others to Christ. You want that for your family. That's admirable to want. That's a mountain that you want to climb, but you have to do something to get up that mountain. And there's going to be a lot of outside influences on your family to get them from going on the path that you want them on. Keep them from going, staying on the path to get them to the place you'd like them to be. There's going to be those outside influences. We got so much technology, and with that technology brings in so much access. There's so many ways that the world can influence us. The world can teach us what they feel we should know. I'm not saying technology is bad. Technology is not bad, but if we know how to use it, we can avoid the bad. We can know how to decipher between what information is good and beneficial and what is not. That's why we got to stay on the path. So what would my path be, Brother Charles, if I'm trying to raise this family? First, you got to be a Christian example. You can't say I want my family to be in the Lord and you're not in the Lord. You have to pray. Y'all know that I said that three times. You have to pray. Each example we've gone over, I said you got to pray. We need to pray. Pray for your family. Pray with your family. More than just around the dinner table. And some of us, while we pray around the dinner table, the fork is almost to our mouth. At 8 man, we taking a bite. Y'all don't have to. Plead the fifth. Plead the fifth. You have to teach our family Jesus. You have to teach your family responsibility. Teach your family a work ethic. I promise you, you can't be financially stable if you don't work. Whether you work for yourself or you work for somebody else, if you don't work, you don't eat. That's what my grandfather used to always tell me. I used to want breakfast, and he'd give me a bone. I don't understand, I'm supposed to eat breakfast with a bone. And he'd just look at me and say, son, grandson, if you don't work, I just go outside and start sweeping. I knew the rest of that one. Now, when I looked in the window, guess what he was doing? Eating. And I said, granddaddy, why'd you get to eat? Why do you eat? He said, I already work. I had to set up your jobs. But those things are staying on the path in order to get up my mountain to stabilize my family in the Lord and stabilize my family financially. And then you have to make sure that you let them know how to handle whatever you're going to leave them. That's part of that responsibility. It is so important for us to accomplish goals. God has given us this wonderful world to live in. He's given us all these opportunities to take advantage of, all these things to obtain, but you will not get there if you don't have God as your help, because God is going to lay a path for you. You can't navigate up that hill without him. We can't navigate up the hill without him. That's why that psalmist says, where am I going to get my help? I know the Lord is my help. The Lord will protect me. Now this mountain that I believe that we're, the reason we're all here is because we have a mountain we want to climb, and that's to live forever with God in peace in heaven. I believe that's why we're here. I believe you're here because you want to, you have the desire, your goal is to ultimately live with God. Well, some of us in our Christian walk, we've strayed off the path. We're not staying on the path, and we've left the path, and we've got bitten or attacked by some wild animals. We have been attacked or beat up by some robbers. What are you saying, Brother Charles? I'm saying we have sinned. We have gotten caught up in some things that are out in the mountain range that are not on the path to our goal of living forever with God. If that's you, if that's you this morning, then what I would encourage you to do is I encourage you to confess. I'd encourage you to ask God for forgiveness, because 1 John 1:9 says if we confess our fault, he is faithful and just to forgive. Or maybe you have not been baptized for the remission of your sins. You have not been added to the body of Christ. You have not had your sins washed away. You have not become a new creature. These are all the things that come with baptism. Maybe you have not received the gift of the Holy Ghost. So this morning I encourage you to start your journey, start your path with Christ by believing that he came down from heaven, believing that he was born of a virgin, believing that he died on the cross, believing that he rose again on Sunday morning, believing that he did that so that he may save you and he may save me. And if you believe that, then you will go down in the waters of baptism and have your sins washed away and allow God to perform the most invasive surgery to ever be done. You won't feel a thing. But when you come up, you have no recovery time, because you feel good. You're a better person after you come out of the operating room of baptism. In Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, the Bible says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. If you want to see God's face in peace, God's face in peace means you're one of those saved. Mark tells us through the words of Jesus that if you believe and you are baptized, you will be saved. And in salvation, you're starting your path to your ultimate goal, to live in peace with God. And when you stay up, when you're on that path, The next thing I tell you to do is to do like in Revelation chapter 2, when he says, live faithfully unto death. That's staying on the path. That's staying on the path. If you need to confess, if you need prayer, or if you need baptism so that you can get on the path to glory, let it be known as together we stand and sing the song of invitation.